What's going on, everybody? Tony Velasco here, and welcome to episode number 12? We're 12? Damn, we are just moving along here. Episode 12 of the Tony V Project. I have one of my good buddies and coach and trainer at Afterburn Valencia, Matt the Hammer Cervantes. What's going on, brother?
Not much. About yourself? I'm just doing what I do.
Good, man. Yeah, good. Yeah. Now, really excited to have him on, but I want to get to like the real down and dirty of where Matt Cervantes came from, because I know it's a pretty crazy, pretty awesome story of all like the trials and tribulations you went through and how kind of workout kind of ended up, you know, completely changing your life, and how like your story, you know, the breakup that you talked about, and how, you know, that sent you down a path of gaining weight, that then you ran these marathons. And, you know, and then obviously, you know, we talked about even, you know, how you went down the road of like steroids and all of that, and, you know, constantly try to compensate. But I think it relates really well to, you know, everybody, because I think that's something that so many people go through, whether it's because of a breakup or depression or something that happened with their family member.
Yeah.
And so that's why I wanted to bring this guy on here. Why don't you just roll it out, man? I mean, tell them how you got started. I mean, tell them a little bit about yourself too, like kind of what you do for Afterburn and just everything.
Yeah, for Afterburn, I coach here, of course, train.
Can you stop flexing, bro? Stop flexing. Okay, you guys make me fuck.
Underneath
look
the
bad.
Table like this.
If these guys aren't coming in with suits, making me look bad, and how they're dressed, they're coming in here making me look bad with his arms all veined out.
I mean, I just got asked if I was going shirtless, and I was like, I'll keep it here.
You're here early as shit, like four
in the morning. Yeah. And I wake up at 3, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and then of course on Sundays I also wake up at like at least 7, you know,
Jeremy
ready to teach class.
Shaking his head when he hears the 4 a.m. call.
Everyone asks me like, how much sleep do you get? Like, you come in so tired, but yet at the same time when I teach class, you're so energetic. I just love doing what I do.
Yeah.
When it comes time to teach, it's just, I come alive again.
But you weren't always into working out, right?
I mean,
the story that I got and that, you know, we've kind of talked about in the past was, you know, I mean, you were overweight.
My girlfriend at the time worked at Corner Bakery, and she worked in the catering department, and she was able to actually get me a job, which this is where my weight gain came in.
It's all
in the back
fault of Corner Bakery. So,
and of course, me having a girlfriend, I felt comfortable. I don't need to impress anybody. After a while, she pretty much kind of, I got cheated on. And then that's what really got bad. And then according to that, I really didn't even want to get out of the house.
So was that like kind of the catalyst to kind of what led down the path of just like, I don't give a shit and just starting to eat?
Yeah. But I gained a lot of weight in that time. And it came time to pretty much where I would have to literally to put on pants, suck up my stomach, tighten it up, and then let the belly come out. Like,
so
it was
for
bad.
Everyone that knows you, you know, there'll be some people that watch this that don't know you, but for those who do, you know, if you say, oh, I gained a bunch of weight, they're gonna be like, okay, Matt, like, how much fucking weight did you really gain? Is it like 10 pounds, 15 pounds? You couldn't see your fucking vein in your left arm? Like, or are we talking like legit weight? I mean, what are we talking about here?
We're talking fat.
Like what?
Like literally, legitimately just fat weight. I mean, body fat was high. And I remember when I was at that weight, I did check my body fat, like what we do here. I did check my body fat, and I was at 27 at the time. And that was, for me, that was just too much.
Yeah.
That was too much. And I was 189, though.
27 is a lot for a dude.
And I'm only 5'9". It's hard for people to see or even think that I was there before, but I was. And until literally, I just felt bad about myself. And after everything and gaining that weight, I said, you know what? Fuck this. I need to flip it around. This is, what am I doing here? So I did. And I started in the gym again. And of course, not, you know, being with somebody and feeling that betrayal of being cheated on and everything, I wanted to kind of pretty much just say, you know what? You can give her the middle finger pretty much and say, watch what I can do to myself and better myself and not let you put me down. Went to the gym every day. I went twice a day. As dumb as it sounds, I don't ever do it, but I did 3 hours here. I would do 3 hours at night. There was one time I literally worked out. I was at the gym for almost 9 hours. I was on my day off.
Because, I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind at this time is, like, there's some level of this that's, like, not normal. You know what I mean? There's one thing to be like, all right, I'm using this as motivation to get back in shape. And there's another, you know, level where it's, all right, you're spending 9 hours at the gym. I mean, are you almost beating yourself up?
I pretty much was. Yeah. Like I said, I felt bad for everything that happened. It was everyone with the first love or whatever in high school. It was high school, and of course, like when you feel like that first connection with somebody, you know, and it's, everybody goes through it. And then it's that breakup or, you know, divorce or whatever it may be. It's probably one of the biggest changes you'll go through because you've experienced that for the first time. When that happened, that literally just tore me apart, and I felt like, man, like I just didn't feel like myself, and like I was just lost. So in a way, this was my way of finding myself again. And then when it came time for like people like body image, and this is where I feel most people have that body image, like they want a certain look, they want a certain feel, and they don't see it when they look in the mirror. And that was my thing.
Well, and that's what I want. That's really what I want to get to with this is the whole body image, body dysmorphia. When it comes to you and your body image, mm-hmm. And whatever that body dysmorphia is, I mean, how did that start for you? How did you battle out of it? Do you still, to this day, do you still deal with it?
To this day, I mean, I don't really battle it as much. I don't have that same exact body dysmorphia as I did before. Like, I don't think of it as that way like I used to. I think I honestly learned all the years I went through with, you know, my body yo-yoing up and down, fat, getting super skinny, getting overly buff, roided out and all this stuff. I think throughout all these years, you just learn to be happy for who you are and where you're at the time. And that's what I've learned.
When you were going through your different phases, like take me through the mindset when you're waking up in the morning, mm-hmm. okay? With this body dysmorphia, mm-hmm. and you think you look like crap. I mean, do you have any idea like where that stems from? I mean, if you like look in the mirror now and you look back at your life as to, you know, maybe why you were, you know, not confident in the way you looked and what forced you down this path of like, all right, well, I'm going to run 26 miles and I'm going to do all this stuff. And then you weren't happy with that. And then, so then you go the steroid route. And so then you do that. And then obviously now you found that home and you mm-hmm. found that happy medium, but it took a long time to get there.
It did.
Where does it stem from? I mean, do you know?
I think it's just what was going on in my life at the time that caused me to go through what I did. So I got too small, too skinny, like, you know, from all the running and all that. And then next thing you know, now I'm too skinny. People say, hey, you know, you look like a lollipop. What does that mean? Oh, you have a big head, skinny body. And there you go. It's in my head that I don't look good, you know, and I'm too skinny now for people. In my head, I'm thinking I'm not making people happy for my appearance. So it got to my head a couple times. And then that's when I ended up saying, okay, I need to get big now. Now I need to show that I could gain muscle. And what do you think of, you know, taking steroids? I took it personally because I wanted to personally experience what it's like to go through it. I
so
put myself
it like?
Through it.
So what is steroids like? I want to know what steroids is like.
Okay, so I did it for a year straight. Not the way you should be doing it.
Cycling off.
So I pretty much abused the way I should have been doing it.
Yeah.
On 1 month off, 2 months off, whatever it was, you need to be going cycling through it. I wasn't doing that. I was pretty much going from one cycle straight to the next, to the next, to the next. And I did it for about a year straight. I started when I was 20 and obviously stopped around 21. Honestly,
Before we get to like the... how it feels, what it does to you in that standpoint. How much muscle, how much weight did you gain in that 12 month period? Like scale wise, and muscle mass wise, what are we talking about here?
Well,
everyone's gonna go out and buy steroids after this.
No. Okay, so 5'9". Like I told you, I'm 176 right now.
Okay.
My BMI is supposed to be 160.
Okay.
That's where it's at on the charts, but. 5'9", when by the time I was done with everything, 215.
Jesus. And what did you start at?
I started at 160.
So like 50 pounds.
Pretty much more. Yeah. And it, you know what? Like I said,
sign me up. I'm coming in fucking. by episode 16, I'm going to be like.
No, honestly, the feeling on it, though, it's to this day, it's hard to explain it. You literally feel like you're Superman. You walk into the gym, you just feel like nothing can touch you, that everything in here is like like bitch weight. Honestly, I was able to leg press 1,000 pounds, and yet, so I was eating really shitty, like, you know, 2 large pizzas, a full 2 liter of Coke, disgusting. You know, go to Chipotle, 4 burritos.
Yeah.
You know, and you do gain the weight, and you, of course, with being on the drug, it does obviously help with the gains that you need.
Do you? I mean, is there, from someone obviously who's experienced, I mean, is there the did you ever experience roid rage and all that kind of stuff?
Yes. Oh, a story. So right there where the 5 South and the 170 come in, some guy was on the far right, and roid rage on the road. He cut me off just because he needed to get on the 5, but yet he almost clipped my car. Well, I had a Coca-Cola can that hasn't been opened up yet. Window was down, so I was driving my window down. I got off, like, you motherfucker, and threw the Coke right at his window. Exploded all over his car. Thank God his window was closed. And I just saw him stop, but I just kept going. And I didn't see any car behind me, thank God. Who knows what happened? But at the same time, like, I was so mad, I didn't even think about...
It's so funny because anyone who knows Matt, he's like, at least how I know. Maybe I know the wrong Matt. Maybe Matt is throwing fucking Coke cans at vehicles on the 5 freeway. But like, he's just like this like super nice guy. And like, that's not the last thing that I would even... like associate with you.
Yeah, you know, it came to little things like that.
I can somewhat kind of remotely relate to the idea that it's literally almost subconscious, the reaction. So the closest thing that I ever did to steroids was when I was in college. Remember, I think it was called Andro?
Yeah.
It was what Mark McGwire was on when he was fucking cranking out all those home runs. And it was first legally, I bought it at GNC, and then they found out that it had all this like androgen, testosterone, all these things in there. Me and my buddy were taking it. And I remember, and my buddy, same thing, he was like you. He was like, go to fucking McDonald's every day. Jay Ray, this is for you, bro. You remember. And we used to work out, and then we would fucking go in college, and then we'd go to McDonald's on the way home and have like two large fries, fucking 3 Big Macs, and he was getting all yoked out. And I'll never forget, I was just hanging out at the apartment, and I was like playing a video game. I was like, motherfucker, and I like hit the table, and like a drink, I don't know if you can see this, like when I hit the table, like the drink spilled everywhere, and I fucking like just straight lost it out of nowhere. I was like, aah! And I just started like throwing like whatever magazines were around, and I literally stopped, and I was like, oh shit, like, I think I just had like a little tiny bout of Andro rage, not roid rage, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I can see how, you know, it can just totally affect your temper.
It was bad though, because the hard part was keeping it under control. When my friend, like the one I was hanging with at the time, he was taking it with me. Although, you know, now, whatever, he's not even my friend anymore. I don't know what's going on with him. but I remember him mentioning, you know, one time.
I feel like there's an underlying story somewhere. So you what know. Made you stop then?
Oof.
I mean, is it the anger or?
It wasn't.
Because obviously you're yoked out, 215, looking good, feeling like you can do anything you want. So what makes you say, all right, fuck it, like I can't go down this road anymore?
Felt good, but then, and then overdoing it, like then I started getting that puffy water retention weight. So, you know, it wasn't always looking good. When family started getting involved, you know, my mom started noticing short temper. One time I got out of the shower, and here I am coming out shirtless, but with a towel wrapped around the shower, she noticed my back was huge and I had pimples on my back. When I got dressed, she said, hey, Matt, come in the room. I need to talk to you. I go, okay, what's going on? She goes, hey, I'm sorry, but that's the first time I've seen you without a shirt and your back is big. Like, what are you doing? And I said, nothing. She goes, yeah, but you have a lot of acne on your back. Like, you shouldn't pass that stage of puberty and all that. Like, are you sure? Like, how's your diet? Like, are you okay? Like, I'm fine. She's like, yeah, but you're big. She's like, I'm kind of weird. I'm like, nothing, Mom. Don't worry about it. So then the next thing happened was we took a family trip up to Big Bear. And just one day in the morning, I was getting ready to take a shower, you know, get ready for the day, go out tubing and all that. Next thing you know, my chest started hurting and I couldn't breathe. And then next thing you know, I felt pretty much my legs go numb and I went down onto my knees. And I don't remember what happened after that because I just all of a sudden woke up on the floor. It was probably one of the scariest things I've ever experienced, to be honest. I woke up with tears in my eyes because I couldn't breathe. I didn't tell my mom right then and there because I was afraid and I knew what it would have been. But the very next week when we got home, I talked to my uncles, partner because he's a phlebotomist. And I said, can you get me in? Just, do you know any doctors I can talk to? This, something happened. My uncles knew for sure I was taking things. I trust them with everything I have. And they knew I was shooting up, taking the pills and all that. So they got me in the next week, talked to the doctor of what I experienced, what I went through that day and how I was feeling. And he literally told me, you were experiencing a minor heart attack.
That's crazy. How old?
I was 20 and a half. Almost, no, take it back, 21. I was already 21 at the time. And after that, I was like, fuck, like, I don't want to do that again. Like, this, I'm clearly abusing the drug. I'm clearly not doing it the way I should be doing it. And mom's noticing, you know, physical changes on me. It's going to eventually come out somehow. Well, later that weekend when we came, it was the following weekend at home. I wasn't home. And my mom gives me a call. She goes, hey, your brother found something in your PSP box, you know, on your shelves in your room, because me and my brother shared rooms at the time. I go, oh, and right away I already knew what they found. They found my needles. They found the vials, everything. They found it all. And I go, yeah. And my mom says, we need to have a talk when you get home. And right away I started like bawling because I'm a crap. Like, she knows now for sure. When I got home, my mom had her door closed and I knocked on it and she just didn't even say come in. I just opened the door. My mom was holding a pedal, sitting on her bed crying. And I said, mom, like, what's going on? And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? And I go, and I'm playing stupid. What do you mean? Shows me everything. She puts it on her bed. What is this? And then right there and then I'm like, mom, I didn't know what to say. I was blank.
And that's the worst. I mean,
I was blank.
It's like your parents can get pissed off at you.
Yeah.
They can yell at you. And that will never, ever compare with when the parent is disappointed in you.
Yeah. Especially,
you know what I mean?
Especially when you're, obviously it's something you're probably not going to be that proud of. I just started crying. And I said, mom, I've been doing steroids. She's like, I fucking knew it that you were doing something. She's like, I had a hunch. Something was telling me you were doing something. You were getting big. You know, you're getting mad like over little things. Something was telling me and I didn't want to believe it. And then she kind of told, not she didn't tell anybody else, but she's like, whatever you do, you need to do what it takes to get off and you need to go see your doctor. You need to get your levels checked. You know you're messing around with your body's hormones. You know, it's not healthy, all this. Somehow my grandma, you know, my grandma, my dad's mom found out and she's very, you know, religious and she's also against obviously drug usage and all that. When she found out, she poured out and started crying to me and seeing that I'm disappointing family made me very upset. And the fact that I experienced that small minor heart attack,
that was enough
was
to say,
just, look, that's it. That's it. Like, dude, you need to stop. So I did see the doctor later. I was prescribed with HCG and I would have to take that, take a bunch of estrogen like blocker just to kind of keep estrogen levels down because if I didn't, gynecomastia would, you know, get produced. Because my test levels were too high. When it was time for me to hit the gym again, though, without it, I remember going back to try and lift the same exact weight I did. I couldn't. So mentally,
I was going to say, does that fuck with you?
It really did fuck with me.
I can
me
only
mentally.
Imagine that, like, you're used to, like you said, walking in the gym and be like, I own this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And then you go to lift that weight that you just did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you can't now?
And right away, what happened? What was I thinking? I need to get back on it.
Right. Like, I was going to say that would be the logical
withdrawals. Yeah. I need to go back on it. Like, I can't do this. Like, pre-workout wasn't anything for me at the time. It was literally Kool-Aid. Well, just drink it for flavor. Like, that was all pre-workout was doing for me at the time. And I don't know what it was, but something inside, like, was just telling me, you're stronger than that. You're not going to do it. You're not going to turn back. Like, be strong. Say no. Like, I was like fighting against myself. And I literally was just a phone call, ready to hit send, called for another, you know, batch to get ready to go again. No, I just said, I got to do this without it. And to be honest, it took me probably 2-3 years to bounce back to kind of get where I was with the weight again. Not as heavy. I'm not doing 1,000 pounds on leg press now, but at the same time, I'm able to still, you know, gain and maintain now. And I've learned that from just experimenting with steroids, that there's no way to get, there's no cheating way to get around it. You know, when people would tell me, oh, when friends and all knew that I was on it, they're like, oh, you're cheating. And then there's my argument. It's not cheating. You still have to put in work. You still have to work hard. True, but at the same time, you're also taking something that's enhancing you, you know.
What happened with your, because you mentioned it to me down in the lobby the other day when we were just kind of chatting about this. Mm. What happened with your parents? Because you were saying like your parents or something about the divorce or something else,
so
kind of.
Before all that, yeah, before everything, I just was overall an angry kid.
Growing up.
Before I even started.
Pre-working out with your grandpa.
Yeah, and that's why I did fall in love with working out, because it kept me
that was your
leveled
athlete.
Out. Yeah. And, you know, even as a teenager, I was so angry. And throughout the years I was working out, it just kept me busy and, I guess you can say, kept me insane.
Why were you angry about what?
I was angry because when I was 9, that's when my parents divorced. I literally can remember everything like if it was last night when my mom and dad were in the kitchen fighting. You know, mom raising her hand, dad getting mad, voices. I'm there in the kitchen table literally watching them 5 feet away from me, arguing at each other, me crying because I witnessed it. My brother and sister were, in the room. I just remember just when they divorced and there was another man that came in our lives right away instantly, my stepdad. I just hated everything. I hated him. I hated my mom. And with my dad, feeding us the whole, like, hey, your mom's a whore. She does this. She cheated on me. All that stuff. It made me just not want to be, it just upset me so much that I couldn't concentrate in school. I would, even in elementary, just not go to class. I would get called to principals all the time because I wouldn't go to class. I would always, hide in the bathrooms or something. And then my grandma one time, I remember.
From what? Like, what do you mean?
Just
to get out of.
Just getting out of school. I couldn't concentrate. Couldn't be in class without crying or being upset. And this is all started in fourth grade. I don't really remember this part, but I was told as a story from my grandparents when I had to get picked up from school from my grandma because I was at the principal's office. I kept skipping. When she picked me up and literally I was like fighting her like not to go, she picked me up and was holding me and I was so mad. Apparently I bit her arm and I pulled a nice chunk of skin out in my mouth. I was that angry. And that's pretty much where my mom was like, okay, like he needs to see counseling. So my mom put us in counseling. After a while, I still hated my stepdad at the time, of course my dad's saying, he's trying to take my job as her dad and blah, 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 and all this. There's nothing, was just processing as a small kid, as a little kid. And then to find out my mom was pregnant with my little sister, Cheyenne, I was 12. And I remember just being like, oh, is he even mad enough to get you pregnant? Like that was my response back to my mom. I wasn't even happy for her.
At 12?
Yeah. And I hated him more because I was now going to have a sister now, like from another guy. And in fact, that's my mom. I don't want to share her with anybody. Like, that's how I was.
So we're going to get deep right now.
Deeper.
Do you think that, and growing up with whatever was going on there with the parents' divorce and what happened with your mom and your dad, and then essentially like a similar situation happening to you with your girlfriend X amount of years down the road, I mean, do you think that's what potentially made that experience that much more difficult, or do you think I'm just reaching right now?
I think you're reading it correctly. No, you are. It all just adds up to what went on later in the years. I mean, I obviously don't. To be honest, this is like really the first time I'm opening up to it.
Yeah.
No, honestly, it's just starting from the divorce, being upset, and then seeing the therapist and going through seeing my dad like when we visit him every week like. It could even be relationship problems down the line for anybody, but like when I would have a relationship before, it was just hard to keep it because I always saw my dad with someone else every other weekend. And because my dad was trying to fulfill what he lost, which was my mom, I would always see a different trick. I'd be like, oh, because this is how the dating life goes. A new girl every week. And like as a kid, it's not good to see that. As all these things just went on, I really do think, like you just mentioned it, that all this added up to where I'm at now and experimenting with the steroids and being angry naturally inside deep that I was an angry person. The steroids kind of brought that out even more.
Yeah.
But honestly, like I said, it's been 9 years now, going on 9 years since I've even touched, steroids and needles. And I got to say, I'm honestly the happiest I've ever been, honestly. And that's why people see me as a happy person now. They could not see me angry.
And that's the key of all this. It's like, what's the message? So, I mean, my parents got divorced. And I mean, I can, I'm listening to you talk about, the scene of your mom and your dad arguing and fighting. My parents got divorced when I was 11-ish, 11, 12, something like that. And I remember going to bed as a kid and hearing them argue so much that like I would lie in bed, close my eyes to fall asleep, and they weren't actually arguing, but I would, it was this odd sound of like screaming in my ears of my parents arguing, even though they weren't. So I kind of went through similar stuff, but some people take divorce and everything that happens and all the bad that happens, and they take it differently. I mean, some people, it affects more than others. I know everything that transpired with my family, it affected my sister like big time.
Yeah.
And she went down kind of not a so great path for a very long time. She's doing good now. She's got a kid. But for 15 years, I mean, we're talking drugs and, you know, anything and everything under the sun.
Is she your older sister?
Younger.
Younger, okay.
She's my younger sister. And I think, you know, for her, there was a lot of like, even though it's not true, I mean, and I could be wrong. I could be reaching and trying to come up with a reason for, you know, why my sister went down the path that she did. And I could be totally wrong. But how I look at things is my mother and father got divorced. And when my parents got divorced, my sister and I stayed with my mom and lived with my mom. And even though it wasn't my dad's fault for moving away, I mean, that's just a natural occurrence of what happens in a divorce. Like, you're going to live with one parent and the other one comes and sees you on the weekends, and that's just how life goes.
Yeah.
But I think my sister saw that as like her dad, the man in her life, kind of leaving. And then as I got older and I was 15, 16, 17, and wanting to, you know, be around more of a father figure. Like, I live with my mom now for 5 years. I'm getting older and I want to be around my dad. And so I go then and move out and live with my dad. Absolutely nothing against my sister whatsoever. I love my sister to death. But I think that was then now the second man in her life.
Okay. Yeah.
Left. And I think that's, again, that's what's in her head or was in her head. And I think that was at least played some part in everything that transpired. But when it comes to things that happen in your life, right? We're all going to have shitty experiences. We all just have different types of shitty experiences. You got your shitty experiences. I have mine. Jeremy's got his. The people across the hallway have theirs. I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, how you deal with the shitty experiences and how you can turn them into positives. Like you, like now, like, all right, now you've turned all of that into part of the passion that allows you to, you know, transform other people's lives. Do you think there's any way that, for example, when the guy called you not popsicle head, what was it again?
Lollipop.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But that obviously, like, that's something, right? Like, that was enough to, like, impact you to then drive you to counter that.
Yeah.
I would say this, or I'll pose a question like this. I would assume, and part of it's obviously your physique, right? But if someone today called you a lollipop head, you know what I mean? I'm sure it's not nearly going to have the same effect that it did years ago or whatever it was. What's the difference?
To be honest, I stay away from any kind of negativity. And that's the thing is I surround myself with positive people. My message would be if you're I don't want to say downer, but if you're always doubting yourself and it's because you're being constantly fed negativity. Is what I want to say, because that's how it was back then. Now I have people that support what I want to do. Now I have people that inspire me in themselves, and that can be members here at Afterburn. That can be they don't know it, but I get inspired by people that come here to see them put their hard work in. It makes me want to work harder. It's just who you surround yourself with really is who you're going to become. And I think with anybody, you know, if someone called me on my pop head now, what if I do? I'd probably laugh.
Exactly.
About it. Why? Because that's something, that's someone trying to put me down. I'm not at that level. Why? Because I have so many other people. Like, I'm so positive about everything now because, you know, I surround myself with positive people. If there's someone that's going to always be turning to drugs, alcohol, I mean, who doesn't like to go out for social drinking? I mean, I do, but when it comes to, like, abusing...
Tell you to say, you know, they get into drugs and alcohol. Who doesn't like to go out for some drugs and alcohol?
but, like, you know, if that's constantly their go-to or yes.
Well, and I think you hit it, man. I mean, that's something that I believe in 1,000 times over. is the idea of positivity versus negativity.
Yeah.
I live my life around that idea and staying away from negative people because I'm not trying to be around negative people. But I think for people that are negative, I think it's hard for them to grasp how to change gears. And I think it's just that. I think it's ditch your loser negative friends and surround yourself with people that are going to lift you up and are going to be positive, that are going to make you better. You are 100% who you surround yourself with.
Exactly.
Period.
Successful people, you become successful. Yeah. You know, losers, you're going to become a loser.
Yeah. That's just human nature.
For instance, I mentioned my friend back then when I experimented steroids with. He's no longer my friend for a reason. He was negative. He always had to be high on things. He took antidepressants. I didn't need to be around that, you know, and good luck to him. You know, I hope him the best. I don't ever wish anything bad from experiences I went through, but that's my example is drop the negativity and, you know, surround yourself with positive people. That's what changed me.
But that's kind of the big thing that we kind of constantly touch on over and over and over again, almost unknowingly throughout these episodes, is that the power that we all have to inspire another human, I think we sometimes not necessarily take for granted, but we don't even realize the power that we have.
Smile at everyone because you never know what that one person is going through in life, you know?
I mean, they have the shittiest day in the world, and that one thing made their day.
Yeah, I mean, they don't need someone more negative going on their life. They're literally, it's just like, hey, smile, how you doing? And that could literally make them feel better. You attract who you are, and that's what I want to keep doing. I want to keep bringing out the good in people. Like you mentioned, how do you overcome that? How do you move on from that? How do you learn from that experience? How do you come back and bounce off?
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Definitely. We got a great time. we
brought it out of you. But no, it was good. You know what? At the end of the day, like, this is something that could easily, again, I know it can be hard at times to, you know, admit certain things, but again, for all we know, and again, we may never even know who that person is, but showing a little bit of our weaknesses and showing that other person who maybe is going through the same thing or something similar is not alone gives them the strength to, you know, power through whatever they're going through too. So thanks for coming on, man.
Awesome, dude.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, brother. See you for 13, guys.